listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. To read today from John chapter 17, the prayer of the Lord Jesus just before he was taken in the Garden of Gethsemane, the evening before he was crucified and died and was buried. Reading some of these verses from this chapter, especially those that show the relationship of the Father and the Son, that he truly is the Son of God. He truly is the revelation of the Father. Reading the first three verses and then some of the other verses as we go through the chapter. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that as he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Then going to verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." And then verse 8, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Verse 11, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." And then verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." And verse 21, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." 22, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, as we are one." And the last one that we read from this prayer, verse 24, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Let's give thanks for these words and pray for understanding of them. Our Father, we come through Christ Jesus to thy throne of grace to find help in time of need. We read here of that which can meet our need. And we pray, Father, that it might be given in such a way that it will. We think of how it was given to the apostles on the day of resurrection, especially when, Lord Jesus, you opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. We think of how the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost to magnify thy name, Lord Jesus. And as thou dost say, that when he comes, he will not speak of himself. He will take the things of thine and show them to us. We give thanks for this word and all of thy word that records those things of thyself and of thy glory before the foundation of the world, of thy glory shown here on earth, and how thou didst glorify the Father in all that thou hast done. And then especially, Father, that which was to the glory of thy grace in giving thy Son, and thy grace, Lord Jesus, in dying for us, rising again, and now being on the right hand of the Father. We pray for thy teaching, for what we need now from these words and from all of thy words, how we need it in the church to be revived, how it is needed in the world to call many out of the world of darkness into thy light. And we pray, Father, that many might be made to realize the difference between darkness and light, and that thou, Lord Jesus, art the light of the world. First of all, the creator in bringing light, and then sustaining it by the word of thy mouth, and especially putting light in souls, thy being the great shepherd that giveth thy life for the sheep, and goes in the wilderness and finds us, and brings us to thyself and to the Father. We pray, Father, for this blessing to take place to multitudes, even today and in the days ahead, for both Jew and Gentile. We pray, Father, for thy blessing also in the temporal needs of those in hunger, the homeless, the sorrowing, the fearful. We pray for homes to be healed that are broken, children in those homes that are troubled. We pray for the sick and the injured. We pray for those in lonesomeness and old age. We pray, Father, for thy blessing in every area of all the needs, through Christ Jesus. Amen. As we look at this prayer once again, recorded here in this 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, I would like to look today particularly at that which tells us of Christ being one with the Father. First of all, reading verse 8 again, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Christ gave to the apostles the words that God gave to him. Part of those words were, he was going to suffer, die, rise again the third day. Either God gave him those words, or this is a lie. And all those who don't believe this, believe a lie. Sometimes we hear of other religions and they're supposedly all one. But none of them believe that this is the truth. The truth by which we can be set free if we begin in this word and continue in it. I was reading today of some of the things in the teaching of the Islamic faith that says Christ wasn't crucified. It also states in there that he is not the Son of God. What does he mean then when he says, "Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee"? We are speaking here and reading here the words of Christ to the eternal God, the God who plans in eternity, fulfills in time, and will call all things to judgment by his Son sometime in the future, sending him back. And again in that, shortly before this, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again." He is the first prophet. He is the true prophet. He will be the last prophet to call this world to judgment, to gather his own, and tell the others to depart from him. He has been given a name which is above every name. And you either believe that, or you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible. Other books, the one I referred to, has the name of Jesus in it, but doesn't acknowledge him as this book does, God's Son, and the Lord Jesus himself, stating he was one with the Father. And Paul writing later that he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God humbled himself and took on him the form of a man. The psalmist states, Psalm 45, "Thy throne, O God, is forever." Paul quotes that when he writes to the Hebrews. And these things are either true or not true. You can't take part of it. You can't make another book and copy part of this and say this is more true than the original. Listen again. Christ says, "I have given them the words which thou gavest me." He gave them to the apostles. Apostles, in turn, preached them, particularly beginning on the day of Pentecost. And the Lord Jesus prays for those who will believe on him through their word. We read in verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone," referring to those he prayed for earlier in this prayer, especially in verse 9. But here in verse 20, he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Not somebody else's word. The word that God has given to Christ. If you are Islamic or you are Jew, I would plead with you, read the scriptures, the holy word of God. Don't put them down. Don't refuse part of them. Don't try to change them. They are given with the promise that God says, to this man will I look, who is poor, humble, and trembleth at my word. Yes, there are warnings in there that we need to tremble at. But I think when God is saying, those that tremble at my word, it is more a trembling, lest we don't believe that word rightly. There's really nothing in this prayer to tremble at as far as a warning or a judgment. It's all blessing. Just think of the great blessing that Christ prays for in verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That word given is used again and again and again and again in this prayer. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. We're talking here of the only true God. The Lord Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. And again, he speaks of those whom this true God gave to the Lord Jesus, gave to the Son. Nobody else, not to another prophet, not to one that might say, I'm greater than Christ. Christ is the lesser prophet. I'm greater. God gave sinners like you and me, as well as the apostles, to Christ before the foundation of the world. Chose them in Christ at that time. Read the letter to the church at Ephesus. It's stated there very plainly. It's stated in other portions of Scripture as well. Sometimes it's called giving, choosing, election, predestination. Other words imply this. Here it is, given, given, given. And also, whom thou gavest me. I can only be here today as a child of God by faith. If God has given me to Christ, he is the only Savior of mankind. Others may teach some things, both bad and good. There may be a few good things that people tell one another to do, but when I think again of the book I referred to, I read in it that those who are enemies, to cut off their hand, to cut off their foot, to kill them. And that is being done. It's being done to the thousands in some countries. And some would say, well, those are terrorists. No, that is a teaching. And if it is only terrorists, what are the rest doing about it? When a church is delinquent, it is supposed to discipline. Paul took the church at Corinth to task when they didn't discipline or put out. And as he said, deliver such a one to Satan when there was sin. Do you ever hear of that in any religion today that has those amongst them killing, 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 killing themselves and killing others? And as Christ said, they will think they do God service in doing it. Here we have the Lord Jesus praying to the Father, praying to the eternal God praying as the only begotten Son, praying as God's beloved Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we have here, as Peter said, and as we tried to see last week, some of the things of Scripture, the Word of God. Christ refers to it here, and I read it again tonight, this 8th verse, I have given them the words which thou gavest me. They are from God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son. All of them were there together to create the world. All of them together are united in saving sinners out of the world. The Father giving His Son. The Father giving sinners to Christ. The Holy Spirit making them alive, quickening them together with Christ. As we can read Ephesians chapter 2. Paul's letter to Titus in Titus chapter 3. And again, Lord Jesus saying it was necessary to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. All of that is there. It's there in the Word that Christ gave to those that the Father gave Him. And here He is speaking over and over of His relationship with the Father. A particular relationship. Now some might say, well, we can all say, Father. Didn't the Lord Jesus teach us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven? He is the Father of all mankind as Creator. But we've all gone astray. We've all, as Adam, lost a right relationship with God. And we have become in that choice. As Christ said, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. We've left what God has given in creation. We've left it with Adam. And all of us have lost it. And we, by virtue of it, become what Christ says, lost sinners. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was about to die for the lost, and now He is praying for the apostles and those who would believe on Him through His name, through the message that He would give to them. As again, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which also shall believe on me through their word. The word that God gave to Christ, the word that Christ gave to them, and the word that He says here, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It may not be changed. It may not be added to. It may not be taken away. If you want to keep in a right relationship with the only true God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who said, verse 5 of the 17th chapter, and now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Christ had the glory with the Father before the world was. And He does now. He is seated on the right hand of majesty. All other so-called prophets are dead. And if they have brought any other message than this book, I can only fear for them. Only can tremble where they are. Everything outside of this book taught is a lie. And we read in the last part of this book that all liars go to the lake of fire. And especially the liars who tell others to die and kill others in the process. And they'll be rewarded. Christ says very plainly, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. That's stating it very mildly because it's a pit. It's an eternal lake of fire. God said so through the pen of John. The same John that wrote this gospel, the same John that recorded this here, speaks of Christ in the epistles that are called by his name, John, the first epistle, the second, the third, and then the book of Revelation, that the Lord Jesus from heaven revealed to him, giving those letters to the churches. We can call them in a way teaching. We can say they were, as he said himself, a chastening and a rebuking, but they are a call to repentance and a prophecy as well of what is going to unfold. Some of it, much of it in type, but all of it, it's going to happen as he said it. And he said it. He said just before he left this earth, after he died. Yes, he died. He was crucified and he was pronounced dead and then taken off the cross and buried. If there's a book written, and there is, that says that isn't true, that's a lie. A lie against our hope. Our hope is in the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was about to do that here. Christ rose again according to the scriptures, and he would do that 3 days later. All of it true. But coming back to his words here, verse 11, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." There's none else. There's no other prophet that has ever been one with the Father, not even Moses. God talked to him. God gave him many favors, many blessings, but he was not one with the Father. He didn't obey the Father in all things, and because of it, he could not go across the Jordan to the promised land. He sinned, and he was denied that privilege because of it. Though he spoke to God about it, God would not hear, and he was buried in the land of Moab on the other side of Jordan. But here is one who says that they may be one as we are. When we are in Christ, we are joint heirs with Christ, children of God, hid in him, the God-man. Thinking of other verses here, verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for those which will believe on me through their word." And in closing, I would call you to believe on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said to preach the gospel to every creature. Every one of you needs to hear the gospel of Christ dying for our sins and rising again. "And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, saved from your sins and from hell. And he that believeth not shall be damned." Believe another lie, another book, not this one, you're damned. No hope.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise